Prostitute and saying, listen, I am here, you know. The prostitute's name was Chintamani. And she looked at him from up to down and she said, she could see his condition, his clothes were torn and there was blood all over him and everything was disheveled. And she said, how did you come up? So he said, you had left that rope out of the window. And when they looked out, it was not a rope, it was a snake hanging from there. And then he said, how did you come across the river? And he said something was floating, but when he reached the other side of the river, he saw that it was not some log of wood. It was a dead body floating. It had caught on to the dead body and he had come across the river. And when this prostitute, she saw him in that condition, what did she tell him? She said, you are doing so much and taking so much trouble to come and express your love for me. If only you had so much love for God, you would have been a pure devotee today. And suddenly, you know, as we say, no, tube light. He became so conscious and aware that it's so true that for what we want, we do anything. Is it right? If we want something, we can swim oceans and fly anywhere and we go and do. But if we do not want something, then the slightest reason and we back out. Even if you don't have fever, you are just feverish. Then you say, I'm not well. We don't go somewhere. But when we love somebody, we do it. We're really grateful that you all have come over here because all of you love Krishna, love God. So you have come to hear his message even in this condition. And we are very proud that even in today's day and age, we have young blood whose conviction and determination is so much. They have love for the holy name. They have love for the words of the scriptures. And all of you all have come. So special thanks from my side that you all have done that. So anyway, today's topic being Go Green, we all know, green is what? It's a color, right? And go means what? Go has several meanings in our Sanskrit language. As we know, you know, Sanskrit language, for every word, there is 2-3 meanings. English language is not so highly developed as Sanskrit language is. So go, when we have, if you stand in a traffic jam, then go means go green. The signal green means you go. Go means you start. Start where? Not anywhere. You start in the direction in which you are going. In the right direction. To reach your destination, you start. So that is one of the meanings of go. Another meaning of go means cows. Cows in Sanskrit is also called go. And that is why we know that the names of Krishna is Govind the Gopal because he is a lover of cows. And the place where he stays is also called Goloka. Because it comes from the word go. And cows are so dear to him. That's why it's called Golok. Third meaning of the word go is, anybody? Senses. Very nice. Senses. Senses. We all have our senses, which are under our control, right? They're under our control. We are trying. So those who have been able to control, they are called Goswamis. Like we have the picture between the two swans. We have the picture of 6 Goswamis. So they are over there and they are all Goswamis. Why? Because they have controlled their senses. So this is the third meaning of the name, word go. So nowadays, if we go into the world, we see that there are so many isms. We call it Hinduism, socialism, which other isms are there? Buddhism, many isms are there. But which is the latest ism? Environmentalism. Wherever you see these posters of go green, and that is why we decided to take this topic, because people are not so much interested in Hinduism, Buddhism, Islamism, nothing, Christianism. They are interested in environmentalism, and that is why so much talk is there about environment. Wherever you go, there's a huge hue and cry talking about how to improve this environmental crisis, this is going on. So why is there so much hue and cry about it? When something is wrong, then there is so much talk about it. Now, If something is just going on, if you are healthy, then nobody talks about health so much. But once some health crisis comes, then everybody in the family starts talking about it, that this is not okay, that is not okay. So the fact that everybody is talking about environmentalism means that something is not wrong. I mean, something is not right, something is going wrong. Do we agree to this? We feel like this? We all feel like this. So we thought that if this is true, we would like to survey the ecological predicament that our world is in today. Because we are staying on our planet Earth. So we just wanted to show you two small films about the situation which is going on in the world. Can you all see on that side? Otherwise you all can come here. Vishwanath, can you sit down? You can see. Can you all see? Sound project.
The Earth's climate has fluctuated. Cycling from
ice. Definitely. The different concepts that are shown in this film include the words which we have been many times hearing, these terms. We've been hearing about deforestation, acid rains, nuclear toxins. We've been hearing these things, air pollution, water pollution, desertification, depleting ozone layers, the species getting extinct. So many of melting glaciers, soil loss and all this, basically mainly because of global warming. So is it a global warming or is it a global warning that we are getting? We are getting a warning from our globe. And can any of us say that it's happening, so how does it concern me? Let it happen. Life goes on anyways. Most of us have that attitude, right? But can we say that? We cannot afford to say that. Why? Because we are living in this place. If your house is on fire, is it possible for you to say that it's okay, let the house be on fire, I'm still sitting over there? Can you say that? You'll scream and you'll run out of the house. So this is our house, our planet. And the message that is coming across is what? We are living on a planet which is in trouble. Our planet is in trouble. And what is each of these words, they are not words in themselves, actually. They are loud alarms. Each one sets an alarm in our mind. And if we take even one of these factors, the whole world can be destroyed even by one of it. And what to talk of a combination of all of that. And let alone the world, if you just take India itself, India actually is a home to 1/6 of the population of humanity, the whole of humanity. And if you take only a survey of India, you will see just few states you take. Suppose you take Bengal. Bengal is famous for its Sundarbans. We know the Ganges Delta is over there. Sundarbans already, this is a statistics of few years back, two of the major islands in Sundarbans have been submerged underwater. And in Orissa also, several of the villages on the coastal area are already underwater. In Andhra Pradesh and other places, temperatures are rising as far as 48.9, 50 degrees Celsius, and it's destroying all our crops. The plant and the crops and all, the cereal production has decreased by 10 to 40%. It has decreased. And then we say there is no food to eat, and you know, there is scarcity of food. Plant life is getting affected, animal life is getting affected. So many of the animals, they are getting extinct. Those who are not able to tolerate these changes, they are giving up their lives, and the species itself are getting extinct. And those who are able to endure, they are just migrating towards the mountainous areas up in the north, somehow or the other, to be able to survive these changes. And so many things are happening like this. And the water pollution and health, the air pollution, it is all causing increasing health hazards. Do we need to name it? You see, you can understand simply by the number of hospitals that are springing up. Every now and then, so many more hospitals are springing up. Why would they be coming up if there was not increasing demand for it? If people were more healthy, then hospitals should shut down. But they're not shutting down. More are increasing. So if you ask ourselves a question, that who did all this? Did the animals do this? Did the birds do this? Who did it? We great human beings. Aren't we great? We are really great that we did it. And we see that Padma Puran explains that there are 84 lakh species. There are reptiles and aquatics and animals and birds and plants and all. But do you know that which is the most dangerous of all species? In one of the places, I don't remember where, I'd heard that there is a zoo. And in the zoo, children go, adults also go for a tour. And we see so many places, animal cages are there. So there are cages of birds and rabbits and, you know, peacocks. And from it starts from less dangerous to it keeps on increasingly dangerous animals. Then you come to elephants and bears and tigers and lions. And do you know what was the last cage? In the last cage, there was only a mirror. And it said, you know, the most dangerous species. And when you look, it's you. It explained that you are the most dangerous species. And it is a fact. They say that if you bite somebody, then you are so poisonous that you could kill somebody. Literally, it could be. And no other species is afraid of its own species. A dog is not afraid of a dog, or a cat is not afraid of a cat. But actually today, humans are afraid of humans. That much terrorism is there in the world because we are actually the most dangerous of all the species. And why is that? Because where power is, that has the... We have power, right? The power can be used positively or negatively. So because this power is being misused, that is why all these problems are coming. We humans are the most evolved of all species and we have most responsibility. And that is why we have the capacity to cause most danger to the whole world. It is we who are drilling all these ocean beds and so much oil is being spilled over there that aquatics are dying even on the by just simply being in the ocean. So much oil is there, they cannot breathe, the oxygen is being stopped from there. It is we who are shattering all the mountains. Animals don't sit and shatter and break mountains with our big drilling machines. We are doing all that. We are cutting all the forests. So many millions and millions of acres of rainforests are being cleared. And for what? For cattle grazing. And of course it is good. What's wrong, somebody would say, in cattle grazing? The cattle is being grazed. They have to eat. But it is for cattle grazing to kill them, for slaughtering them. It's not for just allowing them to eat and live and be happy and merry. No, acres of land are being cleared simply for cattle grazing. And so many animals are being hunted down. Somebody sent me a mail of some area, snow-clad area, maybe the Arctic region or Antarctic region, which is like white. If you see movies, its snow is white, fully white. But this was white, less and more red. And then when the camera zoomed in, it showed that so many seals and walruses, they are being brought out from their habitats and they are being killed to get their flesh and their skin and their fur and their essential oils to make all these cosmetics which we use. Especially we women, we like cosmetics, right? We like lipsticks and we like shampoos for our hair and what else do we use? Lip liners and creams and all that which we are using. So the cream doesn't come from the makhan of the milk. That would be very healthy cream. In olden days, our grandmothers, they used to apply that type of cream. You take makhan, mix it with besan and they will apply and they would glow, you know, put little haldi in it and they would really look so much more beautiful. But today what we try to do, we try to get fat by killing animals and making cream to beautify ourselves. So nice, na? If actually the cream didn't come in the container in which it comes, you know, beautiful Nivea cream and what are the other brands? Ponds and all that. And if you were just, some seal was cut and, you know, the flesh dripping fat was given that now take this and apply it on your face. Would you do it? But actually the main ingredients is this. The animals are being killed so that we can put lipstick on our lips. But what are we putting? The life force which is there of these animals, poor innocent animals who have as much right to live as we have got to live. Isn't it? We all have a right to live. Does anybody say that because you are less intelligent, we kill you? Suppose if you have a brother or sister who is less intelligent and mentally retarded, would you just kill them and just, eat because there is no food to eat? No, we don't do that. But that's exactly what we are doing. Either we are trying to tell that these animals are less intelligent Or better than that is, what propaganda is being done? Animals don't have soul. So what difference does it make if you kill them? Huh? They are not living anyways. But is it that animals are not living and they don't have soul? Anything that moves has a soul. This doesn't have a soul because this microphone cannot move unless we move it. Huh? Or a table doesn't have a soul because cannot move on its own. But animals, do they wait for us to move them? They are freely frolicking around in the forests. But they try to propagate that so that you don't have to feel guilty. No problem. Keep using it. Don't feel guilty because they are non-living entities. But this is so cruel, you know, so cruel. And if we could actually propagate this information to people that where is all this coming from? Our talcum powder has bone powder in it. Our toothpastes have bone powder in it, which is not brought from the bone or the flesh of animals after they are dead. But they are killed just for that purpose. And forget all these things which we use as accessories, but sometimes we make it as our main course meal. We like to eat meat. We like to eat. There is no problem in eating it. But at what cost? We are causing so much violence. And we kill goats and we kill so many animals and eat. But worst is when we kill cows. Because as we said, that God is known as Gopal and Govind, which means he is a lover of cows. And when we are killing cows for our own tongue to satisfy, as if there is nothing else to eat, that we want to just eat that, then what are we doing? As our scriptures ordain, that there are 7 types of mothers. There is Mother Earth, there is the Guru's mother, there is our own mother, there is so many other mothers, which mother cow is one of the mothers. So imagine killing your own mother because she is very tasty. If you have a very beautiful mother, who has high hemoglobin and all, so good fat content and good carbohydrates and everything in her, would you like to cut her and have her for lunch or dinner? We wouldn't, no? But who thinks about all that, you know? Because it is presented in such a beautiful way on the plate to us that we are not even aware that what it is. In fact, somebody said that in America, people cannot even have a connection. They don't even connect that this milk, they ask that where does milk come from? So they say from bottles or from plastic bags. They don't even know that milk comes from animals. Huh? Or their dog might be tied with a leash close by on the dining table and they are eating another person's dog. But they are not able to relate that connection. Okay, this is the same thing which I am eating over here. And we are quite sure that if we could understand that, then people would not be so cruel as they are today. In fact, there is a film which we do not want to show you because you will not be able to even watch that film, which is called Meet Your Meat. M-E-E-T, Meat. Your Meat, M-E-A-T. Which shows the atrocities that go on in the slaughterhouses where all these cows and bulls and all are slaughtered over there. They say that anybody working in the slaughterhouse for more than few years, that person goes psychiatrically crazy. Why? Because there is so much screaming of the cattle trying to protect itself and run away, that it's a deafening sound. And to continuously see blood, 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 you know. The way they show that they pour hot water on the live cow skin so that the skin separates out from their body, and then their neck is slit very, very slowly, half, and then they are hung upside down so that their blood keeps dripping, and you die by all the blood getting, because blood is our life source, and you die because all the blood comes out of your body, and then that skin, the cow is beaten so much that the skin separates out. And all this is done while the cow is alive. And for what? So that we can have a very soft leather bag. And we can have a very beautiful looking belt to decorate our waists. And to have a beautiful wallet or something like that. All these things, at what cost? If we could just understand that all these things which we are using, that what is the nature in which it is acquired, it is so much, very much painful for us. So that is about animals, how they are being killed, and the forests for cattle grazing they do. And even elephants and all, they are simply so many, the African jungles, so many elephants are just killed for their ivory that lately they passed a law that ivory export is banned just to save the species of elephants which are left. Some, I forget the statistics, but so many of the elephants have been killed simply for their ivory, because alive you would not be able to get it out of them. So all these things, you know, make us very, very sad that what's happening to our animal life, to our plant life. If you go to a supermarket, you go to Big Bazaar or you go to Reliance Fresh and all, you see a row of beautiful red turgid tomatoes lying on the shelf, and you want to just pick it up and buy. All symmetrical over there. But do we know how they have been brought? So much fertilizers have been put in it. Somebody just told me that you should, if you buy vegetables like this from supermarkets, they are preserved so well because of so much preservative is put in it. But actually, if you buy, you pick up tomatoes from the field and you keep it, the shelf life is only 1 or 2 days. It will not remain for 10 days like our tomatoes remain today. Why they remain? Because so much fertilizers have been put in it. And what is the damage fertilizers can do? They make all the topsoil, it loses its vitality and productivity. And it is so poisonous that today so much cancer is coming about because of unhygienic food which we are eating. And especially children, they are at such a high risk because of all these things. And forget all that, all the industrial waste which we are putting into the river. Just last few months we are being having these campaigns of Save Yamuna campaign. How many of you all participated in it? We know that all rivers are sacred. Any water body is a sacred body. So, but for us Indians, the most holy and the sacred are which? Two rivers, Ganga and Jamuna. Because they are flowing in the holy dhams. And this Jamuna has been so much polluted. It is a sad state of affairs that so much poisonous industrial waste has been put in it that if you drink, you could die drinking that water, thinking it is holy Charanamrit, but it could be so much poisonous to it. So, and also we are inventing all these modern gadgets, mobile. Today even the sweeper on the road has a mobile, you know. They contact each other, which area you have swept, this area or that area, you know. Even they have mobiles with them. But what is the radiation that is being created by these mobiles everywhere? Somebody was telling that, did you notice that when we were kids, there used to be so many sparrows around. But nowadays, you hardly see a sparrow, very rarely. Why? Because they are most susceptible to these mobile vibrations. So they have disappeared into the mountains. And who are there? The tough birds like crows and pigeons all the time. Caw, 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 they keep doing. Only you'll find crows and pigeons over here. But so much damage, all these brain cancers and all is happening because of excessive use of mobiles. And mobiles, vehicles. We see traffic jams, so much vehicle that even if you are not a smoker, you are smoking, according to statistics, at least 10 cigarettes a day if you live in a polluted metropolis like Bombay. Now, without effort, you are a smoker. 10 cigarettes a day you are smoking. So this is the situation that is happening. And then we say that, oh, Mother Earth, you know, look what is she doing. Why all these tsunamis in Japan, killing so many people, and earthquake over here, and you know, this is happening. So cruel, you know, God is so cruel. But why blame God? What is all this a result of? We are actually raping Mother Earth. It's a harsh term to use, but isn't it? We are just taking away all the good things from the earth for our own enjoyment, and that's exactly what raping means. We are trying to illegally enjoy what is not. It's not willingly, it is illegally. And that is why actually man is in the verge of self-destruction. If you say somebody that, you know, oh, you are self-destructive, somebody, only mad person will just keep hitting yourself, you know. You go to mental asylums, you'll feel people like that only. They take knife and, you know, they're sitting and doing. Because they are not conscious that it is self-destructive. They don't understand that this body is mine and I am doing this. They do not understand, they cannot understand the link. So if we ask ourselves a question that if, I don't know how many of you all have experienced, if you are eating, sometimes do you bite your own tongue? You have that? How many of us have had experience? A nice pizza you are eating and like, ooh, suddenly, you know, it's so painful. And would you hit your mother for that? Your own teeth. Will you break your teeth? We cannot do that. Huh? Because I only bit my own tongue. So similarly, we have only caused this ecological crisis. So who to blame? Nobody. But okay, if we understand that we are responsible for it and we have done, but is there a solution for this? We should ask that question. Okay, now we have identified that this is the problem. This is the ecological threat to our planet. This is the crisis that is happening. Can we solve this? And the answer is yes, because every problem has a solution, isn't it? But to be able to find a real solution to our problem, first we have to understand the true nature of the problem. That is it by making some policies that plant more trees and stop using plastic bottles and stop doing this, will we be able to bring about this concept of grow green again and, you know, change our ecological crisis? Is it possible? As we say, either we can be part of a problem or we can be part of the solution. So we all today know that we are part of the problem. So now the question is that can we become part of the solution? Is it possible that we could become part of the solution? Yes. And how is it possible? So all the intelligentsia of the world now are thinking, and all the thinking people are realizing that yes, we need to bring about a radical and a lasting change in what is happening in the world today. But that is not possible only by public policies like this. We have to work at an individual level. Individual means you and me. Each one of us has to feel responsible for it. If we feel that I am so small, you know, what can I do? But if each one of us decides that, then what we cannot do? Is it true? If there is a whole room and I feel if I only pick up one kachara, what difference does it make? Is it going to make? But if 100 of us, 125 of us who are sitting here, if we all decide that we all will pick up the kachara, then the whole place can become clean. But it starts with individual. We all have to do it at our level, and then it will act locally and the effect will be globally. We have heard this thing. So we have to understand that actually this environmental crisis is a crisis of human spirit. That it is because of us that the human values have gone down, and that is why all this is happening. Because what is outside is only a reflection of what is inside. Isn't it true? You go to somebody's house and they have a very dirty house. So if they can live in dirt, means they are dirty themselves. But if you are clean from within, then you will have a clean house. Even if you are staying in one room, but that house will be really clean. But if you are dirty within, then you could be staying in a castle and the whole castle could be dirty. Because it is a expression of your own mind. So what has caused this situation? It is only our greed. We want more and more. Isn't this our... Isn't this our modern disease today? This consumeristic mentality that is happening, it convinces us that we need more. All of us have a mobile, all of us have a fridge, all of us have a TV. Then once everybody has, then what is the need to change? But the new models keep coming, so you feel tempted. And the way it is advertised, you feel that no. Maybe, you know, now this mobile I have been used 1 year old here. 1 year old mobile, I should change now. It has become old. The TV is there. It's still working condition. Why do you want to go for a LCD and a plasma and all those things? The purpose is to see. But the consumeristic society, it bombards us so badly that it convinces us that no, you need. Your neighbor has it. This right side neighbor has it. Left side neighbor. Imagine, you know, your image. People say you are using such a khatara model. And your car, you know, you are using such an outdated car. Change your model, you know, new. So we also get carried away. Yeah, you know, I need new. Hopefully it's coming into our blood, but we just should not bring this into human relations. And we start feeling, I need a new mother and a new father and, you know, a new husband and a new everything. It's already happening with friends. You don't have long-lasting friends nowadays, right? In olden days, they used to have langoti friends. Means, since the time they used to wear langoti, they were friends, and till today they are friends. Even on the deathbed, they are still feeling, oh, my friend is gone. Now today, though, from first standard to second standard, you, as if you look at them as if you don't know. In 1 year, you have new friends. Forget after school, though, you don't even remember who's who, you know. All new batch, everything new. We want new. And all this is happening, why? Because of this industrialization, this scientific and technological so-called advancement. The 18th and 19th century, it saw this sudden rise. all these gadgets and industrialization and, you know, building of machinery and all. And with this increase came what? The increased ability of humans to exploit Mother Nature more. Because if I want to have that more, I have to drill more holes. Where will I get more petrol? If I need more vehicles, I need more petrol. Where will I get it? If I need more cosmetics, I have to kill more animals. Where will I get it from? So all this heat that is being generated and all is all coming because of all these destructive human values. Not only environment is being destroyed, human values are being destroyed. And as a result of all this big, big industrial revolution that took place, what happened? Religion became completely outdated and pushed into the background. And because religion teaches us what? To have good moral values. So all that also shifted. Who needs religion today? They say religion is a crutch for the weak people. We have heard that. They say, religion, it's a crutch here. You know? Why take up to that crutch? Be a self-man, made man. We don't need anybody. What values? What I make is the value. What I do is, so much ego and pride has come about in us. So how do you try to understand this, that all this is happening because we have gone so far away from reality. Few years back, as they said, that this is increasing, right? The temperatures are increasing, this storms and tsunamis and all is increasing. Why is it increasing and why was it not there so many years back? Because so many years back, people were more religious. The timeless wisdom, which was there in our Vedic times, was so good that it taught us a way of lifestyle to live in harmony with nature, not live against the laws of nature. Today, we have become so rebellious that we want to rebel. That no, why this, why? It's a why generation today, you know. But olden generation was somehow to live in harmony. How to adjust, how to live in harmony with the will of nature. And this interdependence which was there between spirit and matter, that brought about such a peaceful environment everywhere around. And that is why there was more greenery, more productivity, more peace, less suicides, less divorces and all this. During the time of Maharaj Yudhishthir, the society was so peaceful and so good. Crops were growing nicely, timely weathers, no untimely changes were there in the weather. Today, you will see monsoons are there even in the winter season. They say rain in the month of Kartik, you know, we keep saying. And even when it is supposed to be cold, it is so hot. And when it is not supposed to rain, it rains. When it is supposed to be hot, it is cold. Everything is mixed up. Why? Why? Because the whole ecological cycle has been disturbed. The whole environment has become disturbed. And this is all a reflection, as we said, of within. Because there is so much dissatisfaction within, that dissatisfaction is coming out without. And our olden teachers, our olden sages, they taught us that how we can become liberated from all these excessive greed and all that is accompanying us. And how is that possible? By leading a more simpler and natural way of life. The more closer to nature we are, the more peaceful and easy it becomes to live. And for that is why the religion comes in picture. Because what does religion teach us? Any religion. It teaches us the connection between the creator and the creation. And unless we respect and love the creator, then only we'll be able to understand that this creation has come from him. And because he's sacred, this is all sacred. So I should take care of it and respect it and not use it for my own exploitation. And it is, then we will understand it. It is not by this progressively godless society that the world is teaching us to get into. Everybody is teaching us, God, forget it, you know. You invite anybody for this program, they'll say, it's in a temple and it is about God. No time for it. Because we are becoming so much godless. So unless, again, we understand the link between this environmental pollution and the pollution which has come about in our consciousness, we cannot bring about major changes in this crisis. You may plant trees, so many trees you will plant, but your children will again grow up and uproot them because they will not feel it is important. You may clean up the whole world, but tomorrow our children will feel that, what is the need, you know? So your principles are not going to be followed by that. Unless you bring about some ethical changes, some moral changes, some changes in our value, and we spread that, We should spread this type of thing. That is why when our spiritual master Radhanath Swami, once at the airport, he met a environmental minister. I don't know how nowadays people are so skeptical. They ask that, what is your ISKCON doing for environment, for our ecology, for the world? So much pollution is all around, and what is your ISKCON doing? So what did Radhanath Swami reply? Saying, we are clearing the pollution of the mind, which is there. We are clearing the heart pollution. We are cleaning up that. And the environmental minister became stumped. And then he went on to explain to her. He said that, because unless this inside is not cleaned, outside will never clean, never get clean. So that if we try to understand what is the real solution, solution is to reduce our material desires, to clean our souls, whatever is there, of the anarthas which are there. How can we do that? By developing deeper and understanding deeper what is the purpose of our human life. And to achieve that purpose by stop polluting our souls and stop selling our souls to all these pursuits of this materialistic world, and to see the whole world and everything in a new light, ourselves and the whole world, and to try to apply this principle of simple living and high thinking. Srila Prabhupada, when he established ISKCON, there were 7 things which were the constitution, the purposes of ISKCON, why it was established. And one of these purposes was what? To train its members in the science of how to lead a life, more natural way of life. A more natural way of life. That is one of the purposes of ISKCON. So how true it is that usually, unfortunately true, that we realize the importance of something only when we are about to lose it. Isn't it? When our parents are there, we back answer them. We don't listen to them. We disobey them. We behave very harshly with them. But when they are about to leave their bodies, then we regret that we are about to lose them. So we become conscious, maybe I shouldn't have behaved like this. Same with our friends. Same with our health also. We don't take care of our health, but when it is we are losing our health, we suddenly become activated that I should have taken care of my health. But then sometimes it is too late. But still, it is never too late. When you wake up, you should start. So if we ask ourselves that, okay, if we understand these principles, that I should not take things for granted, then what should I do practically? Sometimes we understand concepts and the lectures are very good, but how should I put it into my life practically? So we have few principles which we have to, if we can try to apply, then we could still be part of the solution. But the major principle first, on which these secondary principles are based, is to try to understand that we are not these bodies, we are all the spirit souls. Isn't it? All these needs which have been created are because we think we are these bodies. Because I think I'm this body, I have to look beautiful. So I have to have good hair, so I can kill animals and use their shampoos. Because I feel I'm this body, I should have a good smile, good lips, so I should make them red, so kill these, rabbits and make lipsticks out of it. Because I think I am this body, I have to do this, I have to do that. So the basic principle of Bhagavad Gita, however radical it might sound, is to understand this basic principle that, am I this body or am I this soul? Who am I? I am the soul, because what is the use of the body unless the soul is in it, right? You may love somebody so dearly, but after the person dies, you don't love the body and hug the body. Oh, my dear this and my dear that. The most beautiful actor or the most beautiful actress whom thousands of fans might be behind them, but once the dead body is there, nobody would agree to keep that dead body in their house in a showcase and just keep it, because it stinks, it decays. Nobody is interested in dead things. So this body is dead without the presence of the soul within it. So if the soul is so important, then why don't we try to understand the science of the soul and try to make changes in our life? I was hearing one CD of Radhanath Swami, and he was explaining so beautifully that we go to school. Why do we go to school? Our parents send us to school, right? Even if we don't want to go to school, they say, you have to go to school. You have to go to college. Why? Because they say it's important. If you don't go, you will not get a degree. How will you pass and how will you do? So, average in India, you have to go to school for how many hours? Sita, how many hours? 6 to 7 hours every day. So, 5 days a week, sometimes even Saturday, half day. Every day for 10 years, till you pass your 10 standards. You go to school 6 hours a day. And after you pass 10th, you get a degree. You cannot even become a chaprasi with it, you know. 10th standard, what is the value of 10th standard? So then you have to study 3 more years for graduation. And for that also you have to go to college. How many days, Rupmanjali? How many hours a day? 5-6 hours again? That is actually in college, traveling besides. You do all that and you go and then you get some degree, which is graduation, with which also today you have no qualification. Then you have to study 3-4 more years for post-graduation. In this way, how many years of your life you spent in studying to get a degree? Almost 16, 17, 18 years of your life you spend to get a degree. By the time you pass your TY or PhD or MBA or BBA or whatever, ABCD, whatever degrees we get, you know. We are already spending 17, 18 years of our life religiously because we feel, "Arey, kamana hai yaar. We need money. I need some fame. I say I should." If somebody asks me, "Ke, what is your education?" I should not be able to say, "Ke, 10th fail or 10th pass or, you know, something like that." And for anything, you need a qualification. Even if you want to become a clerk, you need, few days back, one of the devotees was giving in Bhagavatam class that even if you need to be a clerk somewhere, you need a qualification that you have to be 10th fail. At least 10th fail you have to be, to be able to get that. So to get a material qualification, we put in so much effort. But when it comes to spiritual qualification, we are so lax about it. Arey, hota hai, karte hai, I am too young, there's no time, and you know, I'm not interested, and it doesn't bother me, and so many reasons we give. For material we put in so much, then what to talk of for spiritual? How much discipline we should have? How much regulation we should have? At least some regulation, some promise we should make that I should chant my 16 rounds every day. I should follow 4 regulative principles. Today people don't want any regulation. You want to live how? Bindas. But you don't want to live like Ramdas. But actual Bindas is Ramdas, you know. If you are Ramdas, then you can actually be Bindas. But we don't want to live like that. We don't like regulations. We like to live how? Live life king size. Free. Absolutely free. But free like a football. Just to be kicked around. That freedom is not good freedom. The freedom should be that it should help us out to go higher in the principles of our life. The freedom like the kite, how it goes into the, soars into the sky. So first thing, before we apply any practical tips, which we will be able to apply only if we try to understand this principle that I am not this body, I am the spirit soul. So that is why we arrange these type of programs that please, please, it's an appeal that all of you are young people, all of you are intelligent and you are at the right juncture of your life where you are able to understand these things. If you are too old, then you are too rigid. Already your life has gone and you cannot make changes. If you are too young, you do not understand what is being talked to you. But this is the right age, you know, where you can understand and you are able to make some changes. You are not become old bamboo yet, which is not possible to be changed. So kindly, kindly take this message very seriously and try to understand that how important, no matter what our friends try to tell us, no matter what anybody tries to tell us, when we die, we are answerable to God for the type of life we have led. So don't get carried away by this material propaganda of this generation only says, who cares? Anything you tell them, who cares? Don't do this, who cares? People will not like this, who cares, you know? Like this, who cares? Sometimes it gets too much, you know, to keep hearing this statement. Because, of course, we don't care for any and everybody, but there should be some people whom we care, some principles whom we care in our life for. So let us not become like that type of mentality of, we should have who cares mentality for the wrong things. If we put tilak and go to college and people say, why do you put tilak? We should say, who cares, you know? This is what I want to follow. Or if I'm chanting and people see me with my boxing gloves in my hand, shouldn't bother, you know, that we should, for that we should say rightly, who cares? But not who cares for the, you know, come to temple. No, I don't want to come. Who cares to come to temple? So that much power of discrimination we should have. So just to end it soon, for some practical tips of once we try, come like this more for these programs and understand these principles and try to see if we can reduce the use of all these cosmetics and all that we are doing in light of what we just told you. Even these leather articles, you should understand that you are holding a dead cow or some dead animal on your lap. Even these perfumes are made from that. Soaps, some of these luxury soaps, which are so soft, you know, Dove and all these things. They feel so soft and all because it's unnatural. It's not natural to have like this. Even use of Bisleri bottles, plastic cups and all. We used to go for yatras, and about 5,000 of us go on yatra. And each one of us used to drink 2 bottles of Bisleri every day and throw it in the dam. And we never realized that we talk all these big principles of we are not this body and we are the soul and all. But we do not try to apply it. And we are only dirtying the environment. So then all of us made a conscious decision that none of us will use Bisleri bottles. We will carry our own steel bottles, fill the water and reuse it. So that we should practice what we preach. Also, you know, these toothpastes with bone powders and all. Simply, basically, just become a little more aware to not use all these toxic origins, things with these toxic origins. Because we do not want to be like Duryodhan. If you are asked that, do you want to be like Duryodhan or do you want to be like Arjun? What would you choose? Naturally, people name their children Arjun, Yudhishthir. They don't name them Ravan, Kumbhakaran, or, you know, Duryodhan or Kans or anybody. Nobody has, because sometimes names also have, you get the qualities along with that. So we don't want to become like Duryodhan, we want to become like Arjun. Why? What was the difference? Because Duryodhan asked for Narayani Sena. He didn't want Narayan. And Arjun wanted Narayan. He didn't want Narayani Sena. So similarly, we should not want to exploit creation, but we should worship the Creator for what He has given. So, and when we worship the Creator, automatically the creation is going to be, what do you say, respected by us. Because the Creator is our Father. All of us, what we are trying to do, we want the Father's wealth. All of us like, na, inheritance. We like the Father's wealth without the Father. And then what happens? The Mother gets angry. Mother Nature, she gets angry that you want the Father's wealth. You want all this oil and all these things. From the nature, I mean from your Father's creation, but you don't want your Father, you don't want to worship God, so then you take my wrath. The Mother gets angry, and that's why all these natural disasters take place. So we sit and blame, very easy to blame, you know. Look at this, so cruel, you know. This happened, that happened. But why don't we see it in the right spirit and start worshipping the Master? Start worshipping our Father, and then Mother Earth will obviously be pleased. All of us have that experience, right? If we obey our Father, if we listen to our Father, we love our Father, then the mother is happy. Do you know any mother who becomes unhappy when you love your Father? Any mother is like that? She will say, hey, how come you love your Father? You should not love your Father. Not possible, na? Every mother becomes happy. So please try to understand this connection. And if we see that, we see so many industries, this tourism industry is there. We have this tourism industry, and what do they advertise? Come to this lush, green Bahamas, or, you know, the Hawaii Islands, or come to Mauritius, or come to Kerala, and what you will see over there, lush green land, and, you know, cool waterfalls, and pure rivers, and sweet chirping birds are there, and, you know, free frolicking animals are there, and, you know, when you hear all this description, you feel attracted, no? Wow, you must be really good. So why does all these things attract us? Because actually we all come from this, from a place where all this thing was actually naturally there. We come from the spiritual world where all this is always there. The cows are moving freely. You see pictures all around us. That's what we see. Look behind, pure river is there. The birds are there. The trees are there. The cows are there. People are just playing musical instruments and like this. Because that is attractive, because that's where we actually originally belong. And we will not be able to feel satisfied and happy till we don't return to that place back. That is why this dissatisfaction is there amongst us. Because we are not going where we originally belong. So let's go to where we belong. And unless we understand these principles, we cannot go back there. So we go there where our Father is there, with all our best eco-friendly places, the spiritual world. Best ecological place. So we request all of you that just like you all are doing now, please keep your interest and increase your interest in trying to understand these principles of spiritual life. That will not only make our spiritual lives better, that will make our material lives better, that will make the world a better place to live in, and we all will be able to live in harmony and peacefully with each other and with nature also. We will look forward to such a place. So we have to help each other to do all of that, right? So we would like to, today we are late, so unless anybody has ekdam urgent question or maybe will not take question, we'll move on to the next part of the program, which is the Kirtan program which we have and which most of the devotees really look forward to, because that is actually the way we can get connected to our Father and we can please our Father and go back to the place which we have been describing for so long. So we would request everybody to participate in this Kirtan. We will just have it for 15-20 minutes since the weather is not good and we all have to return to our places. So we'd like to request Rupamanjari Mataji to sing Kirtan and lead us on this spiritual journey. Thank you very much for having such a patient hearing in spite of all this bad weather. Hare Krishna. And again,